Washington County Sheriff's Office will look to amend a contract with Tyler Technologies Incorporated at the next Washington County Commissioners meeting. Also at the meeting, the WCSO will seek approval of lease purchase agreements for vehicles. From there, the Washington County Emergency Management will present a sub-recipient award agreement between Ray of Hope and the Board of Commissioners for approval. Commissioners meet Monday morning at 9:30 a.m. at the second floor of the County Administration Building in Bartlesville. News on the air, on the web, on your app, and on Alexa. I'm Tom Davis. Good morning and welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program with our expert, Larry Glass. Stay tuned for a free hour of fun and free advice to make that garden and that lawn look great. The Green Country Gardener Program is brought to you by Green Thumb Nurseries and Greenhouses, Peter's True Value Hardware, Kelly Banks Tree Service, and United Rentals. Well, Larry, your brother's been practicing. He sounds better and better every time we hear that banjo fire up. Larry Glass is with us here on the Green Country Gardener Program. I'm Tom Davis, and of course, your phone calls are welcome, as always, at 1-800-749-5936. Larry already answered a question. Miss Susie shot us a picture over here before. How dead is this plant? And the prognosis?
Quite. It was a potted Norfolk Island pine.
And I'm glad you could identify it. I just thought it was a bunch of sticks.
It apparently had gotten prepped too much water.
Looks
like it drowned.
Oh, boy.
Drowned in that the roots rotted out.
Oh.
And that can be a little bit of a problem when people tend to overlove their plants.
Oh, yeah. It does happen, doesn't it, with house plants? Especially.
Everything, yes.
Everything.
Yeah. We see it in the ground, you know. My tree died. You pull it up, you know, there are no roots on it.
Well, liquefied.
Sorry. Too much water. Not enough water, kind of the same thing, too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So you got to watch it. And, you know, a good thing on plants, house plants and outdoor plants, is to allow them to dry out between waterings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying get to the point where there's cactus growing and lizards everywhere, but they need that dry out period just so fungus.
Yeah.
Doesn't, I've been saying it that way for 20 years.
I know.
It doesn't have a chance to grow in there.
Yeah.
In other words, you need to make an environment suitable for your plants and mm-hmm. unsuitable for fungus growth and so on and root rot and things like that. So let it dry out. Don't over-fertilize house plants. No, they don't grow very fast in the house. There's not enough resources available for them to grow fast in the house. So
mm-hmm.
don't pour too much fertilizer on them. So anyway, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
much love.
No,
too
it's
much
not going to make it anyway. Anyway, right now we want to make sure that we mulch our beds in real good.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want those root systems to transition to the winter rather gently? And the mulch does a good job of doing that. We did have a significant amount of loss last year. And I think a lot of that loss could have been circumvented if the ground was sufficiently mulched. And those beds that were really well mulched didn't really have any problems. I didn't have hardly any problems in my house.
No.
So there goes.
Your yard and everything's thriving. Mine's just kind of like hanging on life support.
Yeah. Not everything, but most everything is doing pretty well. When the only time you see it is that short trip between the garage and the, and the driveway during the during the week.
Looking good, okay.
It looks fine, okay. Drive by, oh yeah, everything looks all right.
Nothing falling.
So anyway, that does a lot to help conserve water and cut out the weeds and so on. So mulch is a good idea. So mulch is important right now. Another thing is irrigation systems. You want to, I don't really think we need to irrigate right now. Mm-hmm. Your grass is fine. It's cooling down. We don't have so much evapotranspiration, so the soil doesn't dry out as quickly. Mm-hmm. So I would say at this point you can probably shut down the irrigation system, save yourself a little bit of water money there too. Okay. And that's a pretty simple process for the most part. I was at one house, and the installer forgot to put the drain valve in.
Oh, well, gee, that's a problem.
So I had a little air compressor thing with Jake. We can plug into his backflow and and blow out the air. And it's funny, though. Air and water work similarly in sprinkler systems. Mm-hmm. And in other words, the valve just shut off just with water, just like they do with
air.
With air, you know, so it's pretty cool. And one of the sprinkler heads, you know how they go? They rotate real slowly.
Yeah.
It's going very fast, like high-speed windshield wiper, just really fast back and forth. So air moves a little faster through the pipes, but the valve seemed to be able to handle it pretty well. So it's not a problem.
Yeah.
So that's one thing with winterizing. If you do have an air compressor and an air chuck, it'll screw into those little ports on the above-ground backflow preventers and blow the air out. That works pretty well. But really, we don't really normally get that cold here. So
Normally.
Just get that cold, yeah.
Occasional zinger, like last year. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So actually, when you install an irrigation system, you want to build in some drainage. And that's in the form of an auto drain.
Mm-hmm.
An auto drain is a little thing you screw into the pipe. And it has a little poppet valve in it that when the pressure goes up, it shuts off.
Mm-hmm.
And when the pressure gets down below 10 PSI, it opens up and lets the water run out. Now, an auto drain is going to drain the sprinkler system rather quickly when the soil is loose.
Mm-hmm.
But when the soil tightens up around the auto drain, it'll slow it down a lot. So you won't waste as much water as time goes on.
Good.
So it's a good idea when you're doing a sprinkler system to put those in.
Mm-hmm.
Just so if you forget to blow it out, and you don't have to worry about it. But typically, blowing it out with an air compressor is not necessary here. And when we do our irrigation systems, we encourage people, and we do put it in as a standard on the installation, is a insulated backflow preventer cover.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, last year, we've had some clients who forgot to winterize their sprinkler systems. And even with an above-ground backflow preventer, because the insulating box was around it, it didn't have any problems.
Mm.
In fact, it's, could you come turn on my sprinkler system? I said, it is on.
Yeah.
But there's no problems. So cranked right up. So, whoops. Oh, I forgot. Ooh, okay. Anyway, that's all right. So you want to build like that. You want to build some. What was I going to say? Anyway, reliability. You want to build some reliability in your irrigation system, and that's one thing that you can do because people forget.
Yeah, did you?
I know I forget a lot of things myself, and I couldn't find my shoes this morning.
I've had those days.
So you kind of build that into the sprinkler system. But to put it all in a nutshell right now, I would say that the ground moisture level is good enough where you don't have to irrigate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's one thing we talk about later on in the wintertime is looking at the soil around the foundation of your house. Because we don't have a lot of precipitation in the winter, it tends to dry out a little bit. And we do have a lot of clay in our soil.
Yeah.
And you know those little cracks that form in the house, seasonal cracks. Well, that's because the soil shrinks and swells. And we have some dynamics with our soil. In other words, it's got a clay content. And it shrinks and swells. And the foundation ultimately cracks. So you want to try to keep the moisture level fairly constant around the house. Especially if you have a broad eave on the house. That area will tend to dry out. So you might want to consider a heavy mulch, perhaps, or weed matted rock or something underneath there just to hold the moisture in a little bit. And actually watering your house when it dries out in the winter. So right now the soil level is favorable right now for a lot of things. So it's not much to worry about now. But we're approaching one of our driest times of the year. That's the winter time. So you want to protect your house and all that. And it might seem a little odd to water in the winter, but keep the moisture level as constant as possible. And that's another reason why on a lot of landscapes, I recognize that, and we put in a downspout extension where it's a little a thing you attach to the downspout, and it goes underground, and then you drop it out of the yard somewhere.
Got it, yeah.
So you do want to keep that, because there's a lot of moisture involved with that, you want to keep that moisture away from the house as much as possible. And a pop-up extension, we call them, does a good job of carrying that water away from the house and then keeping that foundation fairly constant. Because really, on a downspout situation, it just takes a little bit of rain for a downspout to deposit water right there by the house. And that area is going to be moist, where the other soil around the house, if it hasn't rained for a while, it's going to be kind of dry, and that clay is going to swell up, and the other clay is shrinking.
You're going to have an uneven house.
You're going to have an uneven moisture content. Mm-hmm. And some houses are better built. They have a good footing, a good heavy footing. Uh-huh. And, you know, some of them, they're...
Others are, you get what you
kind
pay
of
for.
Sitting onto the, you know, we've dug a lot of holes around houses and say, foundation just not very deep, you know. So anyway,
it saved a lot of money, really.
Yeah, right. So if you don't have a heavy footing on the house, you might want to consider trying to keep that moisture a little constant. But anyway, that's kind of it with the irrigation systems. Also, the timer, you want to make sure to shut it off too, because it'll open and close the valves with nothing there, and it doesn't hurt them any. But typically, the water that runs through the solenoid on the valve also cools that solenoid down. It's a 24-volt solenoid, and they can get kind of warm. And that warming and cooling and warming and cooling.
It's more than just one thing. We're looking at a lot of different things that can go wrong if you don't do
so
that,
just
right?
turn the timer off.
There you go. Save you some problems.
Yeah, really. And some of the newer timers, you can unplug them for a long period of time, and they keep their time. Some of the older ones, you unplug it, you got to reset it. the power, you know, blinks a little bit. Then 8 hours later, your sprinkler system turns on. I didn't program it for that.
Well, I don't know.
You forgot to replace your battery. Yeah. Some of the older ones have, like, 9-volt batteries, and you had to replace. Well, those days are gone now, so... Even the web-based ones now, you don't have to worry about them. They keep the programming and everything else, and the power goes out. Ah, so what? Doesn't lose it. So also, time to put that mower to sleep. I think I ran mine for the last time last weekend, and I need to get the gasoline out of it, and if it'll blow everything up doing it, and and run it till it quits, and put it to sleep for the winter. Good idea, maybe even to sharpen that blade. So in the spring,
you're ready to go.
It's ready to go, and hit dadgum. It's one more thing to do to sharpen the blades.
All you want to do is turn it on and get rolling.
I know you got all winter to do that. So, and make sure you balance the blade too. So
yeah, it's very important.
Time to put that mower to sleep. You might even change the oil in it too, and whatever. I do it, even though it says you never have to change the oil.
Yeah, right. I got
every time he's right. I do mine twice a year.
I got a couple at the junkyard because hey, you never have to change the oil.
Yeah. Maybe that's I bought my mower in 1986.
Uh-huh.
Still have it.
Yeah.
The wheels are a little wobbly, but it still works.
It still works.
anyway, but if you do have fescue grass, you want to keep it. You want to keep it running. Mm-hmm. Because fescue grass does require some mowing in the winter.
Yeah, it does.
So, cool. Time also for some minor trimming on trees and shrubs. I don't like to do heavy trimming on them.
That could hurt.
If you do heavy trimming, they suffer some appearance all through the winter. So we reserve that for St. Valentine's Day.
The massacre.
In the spring, yeah. We reserve heavy pruning on shrubs and things till then.
Yeah.
Just because you'll have a case of the uglies all winter. Things like boxwoods and dwarf yewpines and andinas. We really don't want to cut your andinas back right now. They're getting ready to put on their winter show, so you want to leave them up right now.
What about roses? You don't want to cut those back right now,
Not till after Thanksgiving.
There you go.
Or Thanksgiving Day. While everybody's asleep. Yeah, you can go back
borrow here. Kevin's 16-cylinder.
Big old Caterpillar engine on it, yeah. But also with trees, you want to, it's getting time to trim those back a little bit. I don't think they're going to grow anymore. You want to be aware that species of maple and birch, river birch, sometimes around the end of January, 1st of February, they start running their sap up the tree.
Oh, yeah.
Real quickly. So you'll want to probably go ahead and prune those pretty quick. Get them pruned up and all that. And I like to trim up my maple trees. I have Bermuda grass growing just about right up to the maple tree. And I keep them trimmed up to where you can comfortably walk underneath it. Mm-hmm. You can get bushwhacked mowing the grass.
Wow.
But anyway, you want to trim it up so the light can get down into there. And although the grass is kind of wispy, like, you know, but a little thin, there's still some grass there. So trimming your trees is coming up to the time for that, and on maples and birch, you want to do it before. You got a couple months to do that, mm-hmm. So you're going to run out of time on that. So also prepare your winter trees from damage from rabbits and other wildlife. Mm-hmm. We've had situations where we planted things like Japanese maples. It cost you $325, and some little rodent made a meal out of it. So you might want to consider doing a tree wrap close to the bottom just so that doesn't happen. Yeah. As I was driving over here, I saw several in the neighborhood instances of wildlife hopping around. So they're on the prowl.
Yes, they are.
And they just love your dogwoods and Japanese maples and things.
So
it's a good idea.
Stop here for a bite.
You might as well just wrap it up in dollar bills. But anyway, you want to try to at least maybe a couple of feet up, put some kind of tree wrap. And it doesn't have to be tree wrap per se. You can use polypropylene or anything mm-hmm. on there just to keep the animals from gnawing on it.
Let them know the salad bar is closed.
Exactly.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back more with the Green Country Gardener Program and your calls at 1-800-749-5936 after this two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. United Reynolds is an excellent place for the do-it-yourself type of person. We do a lot of post-hole diggers. We rent for the weekend. We rent a mini track hoe. They've kind of taken the place of a backhoe. You can pull them behind a 3/4-ton truck. People like to take them home, whether they're putting in water lines, they're putting in French drains, digging up tree stumps. That's one of the most common things that we rent, and they're easy to operate. You can give us a call at United Reynolds, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is getting busy and getting ready for the holidays. You'll find new shipments of pansies and flowering kale. Get ready for the holidays with amaryllis bulbs and Christmas cactus that they have available. And check out their new shipments of trees and shrubs. Right now is a great time to sow fescue seed and apply pre-emergent for winter weeds. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house, and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
Melissa Wandel was 9 months pregnant with her first child when her husband Mark was killed in a car accident. His life insurance made a huge difference for Melissa and her daughter Madison.
I wasn't going to have to worry about going to work every day, leaving her in the hands of somebody else, struggling day by day to get by.
A message from the Nonprofit Life Foundation.
It ain't easy being a green thumb. The Green Country Gardener Program is back on with us here. Larry Glass, our expert, and you can talk to him at 1-800-749-5936. What's next on the old agenda here? We might even just have a phone call. Let's
all
go
right,
ahead and entertain
on.
This one. Hi, good morning, and welcome. You are on with the Green Country Gardener. Your question or comment?
Yes, I wanted to ask... I've got an angel wing begonia plant.
Oh, lovely, yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's standing about 3 foot tall, and there's no leaves on it except clear at the very top.
Huh, okay.
And there's new ones coming out at the top, but not any down towards the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to save this plant because it was a friend of mine that passed away. And how can I go ahead and get a new start off of that plant or something so that I don't lose it. I'm scared of pinching the leaves off because I'm afraid that I'll kill it or something.
Right. You can root that. A lot of times you can root it in water. You might want to choose several.
Okay.
You might want to choose several methods of propagating the plant. And if it's something you really want to save, you might want to go different routes, depending on your.
I might want to go what?
Different routes of propagating. You might.
What should I do?
Well, first of all, you want to get a rooting hormone, and dip a cutting, a tip cutting, in a rooting hormone, and put it in some soil. And then keep it not wet, but keep it moist. Give it a fair amount of light, and it should.
Well, I mean, do I just cut the whole top off, or do I cut individual leaves off?
You might want to cut off some stem sections and do more than one propagation, because anytime anything is propagated, not all of them are going to make it.
Do I just take the leaf where it hooks onto the main stalk going up and pull it off, or what?
Yeah, you'll want to have a bare stem in the soil. And typically they're...
I want a what?
A bare stem on the soil. In other words, you take a section of a plant and cut off some of the lower leaves. So you have some stem without leaves on it. And then dip that in some water and then dip it in a rooting hormone and then put it in some moist soil, or potting soil.
So do I take the leaf itself and put it in the dirt?
You can. You can probably get a leaf to do it, but you have better luck propagating a plant from a section of the stem. You might want to, probably what you want to do is come by the nursery and we can show you how it's done. It's difficult to do something like this over the air. So anybody at the nursery can kind of show you how to make cuttings and propagate plants.
Okay, well, I didn't know whether to take one of the leaves and put it in water and see if it would root.
Yeah. Well, you can take a leaf and put it in water. You take another leaf and put it in rooting hormone and put it in soil. You choose more than one method of propagation.
Okay, now, what are you talking about for the hormone?
It's a rooting hormone. It comes in a little jar, and you propagate plants with it. It's basically endobutric acid, and it is a root stimulator in plants.
And so you can get that at the nursery?
Yeah, we have that too, yes.
Okay.
We have a lot of it, and we use a bunch of it too. We do a lot of cutting in our big greenhouse out back. We do a lot of that ourselves, and we have very good luck with it.
There probably won't ever be any leaves come on the lower part of this this 3 foot tall pole, will there?
Yeah, it sounds to me like you might want to repot that too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, perhaps the root system is too confined in the container, so you might want to put it in a larger and use a really good potting soil. Some of the stuff you get at some of the box stores just isn't really that good. We have several blends of professional grade potting soil that much better for the plants. So, and you don't have to buy a big bag. We have it in small bags inside. So.
Okay. Now, if I cut these leaves off of the top of it, then can I put the big long stalk in another pot in potting soil and see if that'll make any new leaves come out?
Right. You can cut off the tip and put some, dip it in a little bit of water, put some rooting hormone in it, and set it in the soil. And you'll have a pretty good chance of it coming out.
Okay. Okay, well, I will try that then, because I didn't want to lose it and But it looks funny with a big old long 3 foot stem and then just the leaves at the top of it.
Yeah, and the existing plant too, you want to wait to repot or to do anything to it until you get some success with your cuttings. And when that happens, you might want to cut it back and repot the plant and see if you can get the mother plant to come back.
Can I go ahead then and cut that big long stalk off?
Yeah, after you've had success with your propagations, yes.
After I've had what? It's hard for me to understand you on this phone.
Yeah, after you've had some success with your propagating plants, then that you have some new plants, then go ahead and cut back the big plant.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Well, so I can take all of... Would you take all of these leaves at the top and put them in different, you know, to root them and then not leave any leaves on that big long stalk?
I would go ahead and leave some of the leaves on the big long stalk. Yeah, don't take all the leaves off of it.
Okay.
Thank
you very much.
You want to keep,
help me.
You want to keep your mother plant pretty much intact,
mm-hmm.
and then just take off some bits and pieces that you can root. And when you're successful with rooting it, and you've got a replacement plant, because it has a lot of sentimental value to you. You don't want to lose all of it.
No, you don't.
So you want to try to keep it, keep the mother plant alive as much as possible, and then take some cuttings and root them. And when you have success with those, then you can take some action on the mother plant.
All right, very good. Thank you very much for your call. And we really hope this works out well. I know how important that plant
is. It's new to some people, this propagating. I've been doing it since I was 12. It's new to some people.
It's new to me. It is 8:34. Larry, we're going to take a little bit of a two-minute timeout. We'll be right back after these.
Isn't it good to know you can always rely on Peter's True Value to have great bargains of the month? This month, Peter's has Stanley Fat Max 25-foot by 1¼-inch tape rule for $14.99. Save $5 on black steel folding chairs, your price $14.99 each, and save $17 on a 6-foot deluxe folding table for $49.99. Get these and more bargains of the month and save, but only at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
Who do I call to get my trees trimmed?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
Who can grind up these stumps in my yard?
Kelly Banks Tree Service.
There's a dead tree right by my house and I'm nervous it might fall.
Well, you better call Kelly Banks Tree Service.
What's that number?
It's 918-335-7000. It's 918-335-7000.
Call them today for your tree trimming, stump grinding, and tree removal needs.
That's 918-335-7000. 918-335-7000.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably?
It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball!
Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Ooh, crazy is what they think about me. Ain't gonna stop cause they tell me so. Cause 99 miles per hour, baby, is how fast that I like.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. And, of course, our phone line is open at 1-800-749-5936. And, once again, no question is too big.
Right.
Yes.
So anyway, what I said earlier, wrap some maybe some chicken wire or some weed mat or tree wrap around your around your young new trees.
Yep, so they don't become food.
And also, you want whatever you use to attach it, if you use a zip tie or something, you want to make sure you cut that off in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Because the tree's trunk diameter grows outwards.
You don't want
and
strangle it.
And it will. It'll girdle it. Yeah. So you want to make sure to cut those off and refresh them every year.
Yeah.
Or use an old inner tube. Stretch out. But anyway, so a lot of those, when you buy a tree, they have these, a lot of them have these collars on them. And that's primarily used for shipping. And we keep them on the trees just because we move them around, mm-hmm. and we put them in the trucks and all that, and help save the trunk from getting injured. And when we plant a tree, we'll take that protective collar off. Or that you can keep the protective collar and reattach it maybe with something that's looser. So the tree will grow and expand. Another thing you want to do when you plant trees, and I've seen this a lot of times, even some of the professionals leave the ropes around the trunk of the tree.
Yeah.
And you do want to make sure when you do plant a tree that there are no ropes around the trunk of the tree when you get done planting. That's the last thing you do after you're planting and backfilling and all that, mm-hmm. is to keep that root mass pretty much bundled up together,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of times the ropes are an organic material like jute or something,
mm-hmm.
and they use a preservative in it to keep it from rotting prematurely, just so you can market the tree without the rope rotting on it and falling apart on the way home. Yes.
Wow.
Now the burlap.
That's kind of rough.
yeah, you take it home. This is ball of dirt in a tree, you want in the back of your truck and in a tree rolling around. But so you want to keep that kind of bundled up.
Yeah.
But that's the last thing you do on that is to. And you can leave the if you get a bald burlap tree with a wire cage on it, you can leave it on there. It'll just rust out.
Okay.
So but the important thing is after you've planted it and everything else in the ground, the soil is sort of packed around it a little bit. Then you can cut the collar. Ropes around it, mm-hmm. so that collar will continue to grow. And I've been to people's houses, and they've had professionals plant trees.
Uh-huh.
And then I said,
really?
There's a rope around your tree. You want to cut off those ropes, because it will cause some damage.
It will.
Tree. Sometimes it takes about 3 years, just when the warranty expires.
Ah, that's why it's done by so-called professionals.
Just when the tree guarantee expires, it kills it. So make sure, and you want to inspect it when you have it done. It's, pull back the mulch if they even put it on it, and then check and make sure that, and, some people forget. You can forget things. So we ran into that this spring. Somebody had an elm tree planted, really nice, beautiful tree, and it grew real nicely for three mm-hmm. years. And we didn't plant it. We didn't get the job, but somebody else got it, and they didn't cut the ropes on it.
Mm.
And it was a real pain to get that trunk out of the ground because it's rooted in real good. And I said, here's your problem. These roots, ropes are wrapped around the trunk, and it cut off the top from the bottom. So.
Yee.
Yeah, another thing... problem people have with their trees are weed whackers, and I ran into that this last week. A lot of these problems with the weed eaters.
They try to get too close and they injure the
tree.
Yeah,
they want to get that grass. They go around it, and it basically girdles the tree. Girdling is a process by which the top and the bottom are severed by a constriction mm-hmm. or a cut of some kind, and it kills the tree because it can't get the carbohydrates down to the roots, and
it
dies. Yeah. So you want to make sure that your lawn professionals don't girdle the tree with their weed eaters. Now, you can get around that by taking a little piece of black wiggly pipe. What do they call it? ABS pipe.
Okay.
And
Me lost there, Larry.
Some people, I don't use it on drainage. Some people use it for drainage. But anyway, but it'll stick and get stuck in it and block your drain. But anyway,
mm-hmm.
Use a section of that about a foot long, and then cut a vertical slit along the length of it.
Okay.
Pry it apart and pop it around your tree.
Now I know what you're talking about.
Okay. And that'll stop weed whackers from damaging your twee.
So, wee-wee.
Wee-wee, yeah. Another way to keep that from happening is keep the grass clean around it. And that's something I do at home is I just use a shovel and cut the grass out and put some mulch around it. And,
that's what we do.
And it looks kind of nice. And it the cedar mulch, I think, helps keep the bugs away pretty much. And it looks kind of nice, too. So watch out for that on trees, and watch out for new ones when they're planted. Keep an eye on them and go back and inspect their work and make sure the rope has been cut.
All right. I think we have a caller. I think so. Hi, good morning. You're on with the Green Country Gardener. Your question or comment, please turn your radio down.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay, we're actually out of the city. We're out in the country, but I've got a fence. But I want to put up some kind of plant barrier. We used to use multiflora rose.
Yes.
I mean, I've got a fence. I just want to plant a barrier that will grow.
Uh-huh.
Any suggestions on that?
There are several varieties of plants you can choose for that. The rose works rather well. Just a floribunda rose, just one that's kind of wild. Works pretty well. Burning bush is another one. Pretty nice plant. And euonymus, Manhattan euonymus, makes a very good, very durable hedgerow. You remember the 4S ranch down south of town?
Oh, yeah.
They had that hedge that was planted, said 4S. Well, that was Manhattan euonymus. They took it out since then, but a lot of people have been here a while. They remember that, looking onto the old.
Do you carry the roses or any of that stuff?
We really don't have much of that right now, but we can get some in for you pretty easily.
Is springtime the best? Would be the better time
to
plant it?
Yeah, come about late February, March would be a good time for that. We've got plenty of rain. Okay, all right. Thanks for calling. Okay.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here in just a moment right here on the Green Country Gardener program.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is getting busy and getting ready for the holidays. You'll find new shipments of pansies and flowering kale. Get ready for the holidays with amaryllis bulbs and Christmas cactus that they have available. And check out their new shipments of trees and shrubs. Right now is a great time to sow fescue seed and apply pre-emergent for winter weeds. Come see what's new at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5 Sunday.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, and KFC, all in Bartlesville, CV's in Dewey, and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The Dining Guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 KREG.
K1 loves birthday. Each morning we announce all area birthdays, and one name is chosen to receive a certificate for a birthday meal. From Dink's Fit Barbecue,
Pops,
Daylight Donuts, or Sterling's Grill. If you or someone you know has an upcoming birthday, give us a call. 918-336-1001 and give us the details. We'll announce their name and maybe choose them as our daily winner at our K1 Birthday Club.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Good morning. It is 8:46, Green Country Gardener Program. Phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. Larry, what's cooking?
Hey, at the nursery, we've got a great selection of pansies. And while the ground is warm, you really want to get those in like now.
Now.
Because I don't know what you guys have in the forecast.
We're going to be in the 70s, looks like, for a while there.
70, 53. What a beautiful
week coming up. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we get some work done this week. Yay.
Yeah, no kidding.
Finally, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, it's not 1,000 degrees or it's not raining or something. I can get some work done.
And
yay.
We've had a couple of those days where it was both 1,000 degrees and raining. Let's go one real quick call here. Hi, good morning. Your comment for Larry.
Yes, I have a question. Years ago, we had planted a pin oak tree,
mm-hmm.
and it's well over 30 years old, and we it started dropping the little acorns.
Yes.
And my question was, I wanted to start some more of those trees. We've since sold the property, and I picked up a bunch of the acorns trying to start from this same tree. When is the best time to try and put those in the ground?
Oh, in any time, really. They typically, okay. they're falling on the ground at this point uh-huh. in time. So I'd go ahead and plant some in a linear row, so you'll know which ones are coming up just by the geometry of it. But
okay, and
that way you can after they come up the next year, you can transplant them, or you can plant them where you want them, really. Maybe put three or four seeds in the same place, and they don't have to be too deep in the ground, just as deep
okay.
as they are big around. And may the best man. Go ahead.
Should you put more than one in a hole?
Yeah, what I would do is maybe plant three or four, not necessarily in the same hole, but kind of a few inches apart.
Okay.
And that way, in that very specific area, you'll get at least one of them to come up, I would say. And if four, okay. of them, four of them come up, we'll leave one on the ground and maybe transplant two of them.
Uh-huh.
But they're pretty okay. reliable about coming up. And you might want to put some mulch or a screen or something just so the squirrels don't dig it up. But
okay.
But
yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. All right. And do we just keep watering it through the winter?
Basically, don't do a whole lot to it. It'll come up
okay.
on its own and it should do just fine. But I wouldn't be overly conscious about it, but. A little bit of water might help it out to come up pretty quickly,
okay.
too.
Okay. All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Where were we here?
Oh, we were talking about pansies and planting them.
Yes,
right
sir. Yeah. While the ground's still warm.
While the ground is still warm.
For the next few days.
Put a layer of mulch around that. Yeah. And what that'll do is help graduate the temperature change between mm-hmm. Warm right now and then cold later on. Mm-hmm. So the root system will continue to grow and develop. The thing you really want most on your pansies right now is not only the appearance are pretty, but you want the root system to grow, and it does very well, grows very nicely when the ground is relatively warm.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to experience some continuing warm soil this week. I don't know what's going to happen the week after next, but the bottom will probably fall out. But
yeah. Well, it looks like on Veterans Day we're going to hit 58 for a high, so yeah, it's just here for a few days.
Mm-hmm. So, but they do grow and develop quickly, and that's very important when you plant your pansies. Put them in a soil that's rather loose and easy mm-hmm. to work. So get out the little tiller
mm-hmm.
if you can start it. I don't know.
But,
and then you might consider getting some compost or even potting soil, mm-hmm. something to keep the soil fairly loose. Because you notice when you take the pansy out of the container, the root system is almost like a felt. It's very fine.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a very aggressive root system. So they really won't grow in our heavy soil. So we need to make sure the soil around it is somewhat anaerobic, easy mm-hmm. to grow. And while you're at it, you get a bag of blood meal. The blood meal that has elemental nitrogen in it that mm-hmm. will help it grow and develop quickly. And we had a customer come in yesterday who got some, and she got the blood meal, and she said they'd never done any better than they did that year with that. And she bought a whole trunk load of pansies and a big old bag of blood meal, and
off she goes.
Off
she's
goes.
She's going to be in pansy paradise.
But really, so anyway, be careful about the application of that, and also you don't want to apply blood meal when it's, say, really warm, because it's kind of a hot form of nitrogen, and it can cause some issues.
You don't want to burn your plants up.
No, you don't. Don't overdo it.
No.
It's easy to do that because it's organic. Right?
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's still pretty hot stuff.
So
use it judiciously. Follow the directions implicitly, and you'll have some good luck.
We're going to take a quick break for our stations along the network line. This will be a 3-minute timeout.
Frank Phillips, the old man with barbed wire nerves and the courage of a wolf, didn't realize his own capacity to love until after the death of his dear wife Jane in 1948. He no longer heard her laughter in the mansion in town, nor enjoyed the long drives out to his beloved Willow Rock, where they would often go to share an evening dinner. After her death, he found himself waking to the cold reality of her absence and confided to others that his soul ached. More and more of Frank's time was being spent at the ranch, sitting on the front porch of the lodge and enjoying the magnificent view and likely reflecting back on an incredible life of personal and professional accomplishments. However, without his wife in the chair next to him, these simple joys became shallow to Uncle Frank. After her death, those around Frank soon discovered that he had one desire, and that was to build a mausoleum at Willow Rock to serve as a final resting place for Jane and himself. He had picked out the spot years before, a favorite spot that overlooked one of the beautiful lakes that dotted the grounds of the ranch. Inspired by the memorial built for his good friend Will Rogers in Claremore, the mausoleum soon became the primary focus of Frank's life. Once construction started on the mausoleum in 1949, he personally came out every day to see how work was progressing. Frank wanted it within walking distance of the lodge, yet not directly in the public eye, which is why he chose the site above Elk Lake, one of his favorite fishing holes at Willow Rock. Built of native stone with no cut edges, the tomb appeared to spring from the side of the hill as if it was part of the terrain. Workmen blasted through 18 feet of solid rock to form the burial chamber, and the 24-square-foot room was lined with a 12-inch steel-reinforced concrete wall. The chamber was air-conditioned, and a telephone was installed. Inside the mausoleum is a circular rotunda outlined by 8 columns of St. Cecilia marble imported from Italy, which rises 10 feet to a dome. The walls are covered with thousands of mosaic tiles, and in the center of the room is an 8-pointed star formed by the different shades of marble. Construction took about a year, and as soon as it was completed, Frank had Jane's casket brought from White Rose Cemetery, and a memorial service was held at the new mausoleum. To his friends and staff, Mr. Phillips seemed happier than at any time in recent years. His final work was completed, and he could return to the porch of the lodge, which he did until his death on August 23, 1950. The magic of Willow Rock is a story worth sharing, and it can be found everywhere at this national treasure. Come see it for yourself, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
When you shop Goodwill, you don't just bring home a vintage dress or cat lamp. You bring home so much good to your community, because everything you buy funds local job training and more. Goodwill, bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:55. Our phone lines are open for a change because they've been hopping pretty good today. At 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass, what's going on?
Ornamental kale. We have some of that at the nursery, too. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was stuff that you had on your salad.
Well, it is kind of that, but yeah. It has interesting colors to it.
Oh, it does?
And it does give you some interest in the landscape.
Oh, good.
Plant specimen interest, so you might plant one or two.
Because I don't like eating it.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah, the funny thing is, though, I saw it used one time on a television show.
Yeah?
When Commander Riker was eating kale in a foreign planet. And I go, well, that's kale. Come on, people. It's funny to watch these shows, and you see, like on Hogan's Heroes, you've seen that show.
Yeah.
And they're hiding out in the woods, and they're hiding out in olive trees.
In Germany?
Yeah, right. I go, what is this? Yeah, it's a funny show, but horticulturally it's funny.
That part
too.
Of Germany that reaches to Greece, yeah.
Yeah. I see that a lot in programs.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's supposed to be really cold. There's no steam coming out of their nose or anything. So anyway, flowering kale is essentially the same as the kale grown in the vegetable garden, except it has some colors, which we rather like. And they're biennials, which means they'll last a couple of years,
mm-hmm.
if they survive the heat. Mm-hmm. And it's a Scottish name. It's adapted from the Roman name of coal, mm-hmm. which is one of the coal crops.
Okay.
Like cabbage and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's a coal.
That's coleslaw. Yeah. I'm okay. Reaching here, Larry. I'm reaching. Sorry.
All right. Anyway, the leaves of the ornamental kale are edible, and they're often used as a garnish on plates and in place of parsley. If they run out of parsley, they go out and get some kale or something.
I try to eat it like lettuce. but it's kind of veiny, you know. And it,
it's a little bit rough, yeah.
A little.
The actor didn't spend a lot of time eating it on the show either. But anyway, it is pretty, and it does quite well here. The only problem it really has are some cabbage loopers and little worms that crawl on it, but they won't be around when we finally get it free. So. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I like to use this plant in the garden, and it's very easy to grow. Mm-hmm. You do nothing to it.
It's got a nice color.
Very good color. And when it gets really, really cold, though, you want to make sure you have it watered real well. Mm-hmm. And if it's going to get really, really, really cold, you might consider putting some mulch over the top of it just to shield it from the extreme cold, because it has a point of tolerance. But if it gets really cold, then it's not going to make it too well. So anyway, consider that in the landscape. And give it a little bit of a fertilizer, too, when you plant it, and it'll help it out a lot. Mm-hmm. And in the spring, it'll come out and flourish real well. Then it'll bolt. Bolting is when it blooms. It sends up this column of flowers.
Oh, I see.
Tall. And they're yellow, insignificant flowers. And
I'm glad you explained that.
And that marks the end of the plant when it bolts.
Okay.
So anyway, flowering kale is good for some winter color in the garden. So. Mm. Lawns, getting back to your lawns, so you want to fertilize your fescue grass right now at this point. It's really actively growing. It loves this weather we're having. Cool nights and kind of warmish days, so it's perfect season for fescue lawns. And if it doesn't have the color you really want, you might want to add some fertilizer to it. Not a whole lot, but just enough to maintain it real well. And you choose a fertilizer with some trace elements in it, like iron and sulfur and like that. It'll darken the color.
Rich color, yeah.
It'll give you some good rich color. So broadleaf weeds can be controlled now with a post-emergent herbicide, Trimec 240, something like that for broadleaf control. If you missed the boat on the pre-emergent, still time to do that.
Oh, I missed it.
But anyway, come by the nursery and see what we have. We have all kinds of fertilizers. Great, a big old mountain of mulch, too. It's cedar mulch. Oh, it smells so good in the land. We put some down yesterday, and I got a phone call. Oh, that smells so good. Whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's real attractive, too. Mm-hmm. And we've got a great selection of houseplants, some odd things and some succulents. We're over there on No Water Road, kind of halfway between the big road and the little road.
Easy to find, though.
Really.
Swing by if you want some ice cream.
Exactly. And keep your shovel sharp, Tom. We will see you next week.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville. K227 CQ.